You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to Dynasty Happy Hour. We are live on YouTube. You don't know that now because you're listening to a podcast, but you know what? You missed out on great visuals, so whatever. We are rolling tonight. It's me, it's Tyler, it's Tim, and we have a special guest on the show. John Helmkamp is here to join us, and we are here to talk about the quarterback class of 2021. But before we do that, I want to tell you about our sponsor this week. It is Trophy Smack, and when you go on TrophySmack.com, you use code DHHRING. Not only are you going to buy a trophy with your hard-earned money, maybe league money, who knows? You're going to get a free ring, championship ring. You can keep it yourself. Maybe you give it to the guy that had the most points. Do whatever you want with it. But recently featured on Shark Tank, Mark Cuban is a partner. Trophy Smack is absolutely phenomenal. Maybe you're not looking for a trophy. Maybe you're looking for a gangster grill. You know, maybe you're wood grain gripping Paul Wall style. Maybe you are looking for a championship belt. You're a big WWE fan. I just joined a wrestling league. Thank you, Jay Mike, for that swell team. So yeah, maybe you're looking for a belt. They have it all. So check out TrophySmack.com and use code DHHRING today to get that free $60 value ring. Boys, we're here to talk about quarterbacks. But before I hear from Tim and Tyler, John, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
Thanks, man. Doing good. Happy to be BSing with you fine gentlemen this Saturday evening, or whatever day it is. I mean, days are just an imaginary construct at this point. Mm-hmm. So I know that it is dark outside, and I did not work today, and that's about all that I know. So I'm happy to be talking some rookies and get into rookie season, man. It's a lot of fun.
Your face to facial hair ratio has become so absurd that I think it's just going to end up covering your whole face. Like, I think the ratio right now, fellas, is what, 70 to 30 for the facial hair and hair.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, well, not only does he have it on the lower part of his head, he's got a great head of hair on too.
That's true. Well, and I think all of us except Doug are jealous. So I'm speaking for Tim and I.
Yes, I have next to nothing up top.
Yeah, we got the lettuce in the corners of the screen.
But you know what? It's close to Valentine's Day. So, Tim, you have everything in your heart.
Mm.
Oh, yes. Ain't that adorable? Yeah. Yeah, I made the mistake of going to a fancy barbershop here in Chicago probably like 2 months ago and did like the really, really swanky like beard shaping
like
situation.
A V. Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't go like full on like V cut or anything like that, but it was just to like give it a little bit of shape, and I left and I was like, you know, that was really fun, but never again will I ever do that to my beard. I've just decided to let it do its thing, and I like it much better this way. So the ratio is almost where I want it. I don't know. Maybe it'll get off the camera at some point. We'll see what happens.
There you go.
Nice. I mean, Christmas is pretty far away. You have a while. I may be auditioning for Santa Claus, Mall Santas. I know. Yeah, maybe that's like a dream of yours. I'm not quite sure, but you just need
totally
the great.
It's totally a dream. It's totally a dream. I've already talked to my girlfriend about later in life wanting to do the whole Santa Claus thing once I go naturally gray. So it'll be a lot of fun.
I mean, you have the persona. You have the happy attitude. So. That's a plus.
Being compared to Santa Claus is probably the nicest thing you've ever said to me. So thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean,
and you know what? The biggest Santa Claus Superflex leagues was? It was the 101. So if you have the 101 in a league, pretty much the consensus I want to talk about first in this 2021 quarterback class is Trevor Lawrence. Now, you're going to start to see some hot takes on Twitter. Like, is it weird if I have Justin Fields as my 101? Like, no, it's not weird. It's your own personal opinion. But I mean, by all intents and purposes, Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent. A lot of people say, I haven't seen a quarterback like this since Andrew Luck, which, you know, Andrew Luck had a good NFL career. I think based on his college hype, would you call Andrew Luck a little disappointing at the pro level, maybe?
I would probably
based on the hype.
Yes,
sure. I think that's fair.
Andrew Luck's arm talent, his athletic ability did not disappoint, even kind of. The fact that they never put any sort of established line in front of him to give him any sort of time to do anything with that arm talent is what's disgusting. That's terrible.
The best part about it has to be when Andrew Luck retires, they have this top three offensive line now, and it's just, it's got to be tough. And they're all talking about like Andrew Luck coming back and just be like, no, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Because you know what's going to happen the second he comes back, that offensive line is just going to go to crap. And then
well, you already saw Costanzo retire. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk Trevor Lawrence. Again, the consensus 101, you know, he's been the bell of the ball for years now in Superflex leagues. You know, again, a generational talent by all intents and purposes. He's got the college resume. He looks like he checks almost all the boxes. Even the hair game is on point for Trevor Lawrence. So Tyler, you know, what are your kind of pros and cons when you've watched some of the Lawrence tape or just your overall opinions of Lawrence? I assume he's probably your number one QB in 2021.
Yes. Yes. He's been the 101 for a while. I mean, when I first watched tape, his game versus Rutgers, he was really rusty. He threw in the traffic and he was really off on throws. And I was like, okay, this isn't the guy I saw last year. And I know with the COVID stuff happening and the season kind of just happened because they're all like, no, we're going to play. And with Trevor and the whole ACC, they kind of just jumped into it. But I mean, he is very accurate outside of the pocket. Like he's very good on the run. He's very athletic for his size. And he's really good at throwing receivers open to allow them to get yards after the catch. And actually, it is one of his best traits. He is almost elite at this. He is very smart at throwing them open. Say that, you know, he's got an open lane to the inside. He knows to throw it to the inside shoulder of the receiver so he can cut inside. I mean, like I said, he's athletic for his frame. We all saw that he weighed in at 216, 214 around there.
Yeah.
And I'm not nervous for that. I mean, everybody's comparing him. Oh, Justin Herbert's 236. You know, Lawrence is still young. He can still grow into that frame. I don't want to see him at 230 something. I want to see him at 225. I'm perfectly fine with that because he's played at an elite level in college at that size. So I'm not nervous about that. He throws with great anticipation outside of the hashes. A lot of quarterbacks have a lot of nervousness and trouble throwing outside of the hashes, and he has no problem with that. He's got a great arm to get the ball there before the corner can jump on the pass. I'm very excited about Trevor Lawrence, and if you have the 101, despite Jacksonville already screwing things up this offseason, I am not nervous for Trevor Lawrence. I think he's going to succeed no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. John, talk to me about Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Trevor's amazing. I mean, there's really not a whole lot to dislike about his game. He can deliver the ball on time pretty much where he wants to. His ability to drop it into a bucket deep downfield is truly elite. Like his ability to pinpoint a deep throw where he wants it. These like high arcing rainbow shots, he's so good at. He can just line up those deep shots wherever he wants them to and put it on the money. And it's quite special. The only things that I've noticed that I would say if there are some knocks to his game, which I know is sacrilege to even say because he's basically football Jesus, but if there is anything about Trevor's game to be noted, the dude gets hit a lot. And maybe that's the scheme. Maybe that's the designed run there in Clemson and things like that. But people like to talk about his mobility being very, very good. But I haven't really seen Trevor do that when a play breaks down. Like, I've seen him do that when it's designed for him on design quarterback keepers and things like that. But I haven't really seen him, you know, when the play breaks down, roll out of the pocket, be looking downfield, and then tuck and run and rattle off a 20-yard run where he gets out of bounds instead of getting smoked by a safety. So that's one area where I think he's not your crazy mobile athletic Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray type running back that way. But as a pure passer, he's about as good as it gets. I would say that the deep third on either side outside the numbers, sometimes the ball doesn't have a lot of pace on it. Like, it still gets there when he's able to anticipate and drop it into those buckets ahead of time on good routes and stuff like that. Sometimes the pace to those like outer deep thirds lacks just a tiny bit, but I'm literally nitpicking an incredible talent and an incredible quarterback prospect. I have no problem with anyone taking him at the 1.01 Superflex leagues at all.
Absolutely.
Tim, any last words on T-Law?
Well, ESPN had him listed at 6'6", 220 before the pro day. He measured at 6'5", and 5'8", and 213 was his official weigh in today.
213? Tall.
Yeah, 213 is what he officially weighed in at.
I will adjust my spreadsheet. Thank you.
Yep. But you're talking about a guy that completed 758 out of his 1,138 passes in his college career for 66% completion percentage, over 10,000 yards, 91 touchdowns to 17 picks. Absolutely amazing, amazing talent here. He should be the 101 in Superflex drafts going here. My notes from tape is Trevor can throw any ball you need him to throw. He shows great touch on the shorter and intermediate throws. The ball placement is almost perfect, allowing the receivers to run after the catch. He can throw with good zip and maintain the accurate placement. I do have questions about his velocity to the deep part of the field.
Yeah, I agree. Look at that consistency.
He is a smart player who recognizes the blitz and attacks the open holes that the blitzers leave. You see it on tape. When teams decide they're going to attempt to blitz on Clemson, he consistently was reading it pre-snap and immediately was getting the ball out to the open hole left by the blitzing player. He is not a run-first guy at all, but can kill you with his legs. And as John said, the last line of my notes is, I wish he would just take that step out of bounds instead of taking that extra hit. To his credit, he is an ultimate competitor, and that's why he's taking these hits. But if you're going to have him at the first pick of an NFL draft, get out of bounds. Camp.
Get the hell down or out, either one.
Yeah. Just show him Robert Griffin III highlights from his rookie year.
You getting that extra half yard for us is not going to do anything unless it's the last play in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl. Then it all, by all means, go ahead, ask over teacups to get in the end zone. But if it's week three and it's the second quarter of a 7-10 game, just get the hell out of bounds. There's no need to take these hits, but absolutely amazing.
Against your division basement Houston Texans.
Yeah. where they'll live for a little while.
Now I do like, I know Matt Miller said this, and I thought this too when I watched tape, is Justin Herbert had a fantastic year this year. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence is what Herbert is now. Herbert wasn't Herbert at Oregon. He wasn't that quarterback. He has definitely matured. I think Lawrence is there now. Will he have the season he had as Herbert had? No, probably not. But will he have a good season year one? Yes. And honestly, when you guys kept saying that he can't the deep third of the field, Peyton Manning also had struggles with that. I'm not saying he's Peyton Manning, but he is very football smart like Peyton was. So we are seeing an elite level player like we saw with Luck, and don't overthink it. I know Fields is a good player. Don't overthink this. This is me personally. I don't care what you do, but I'm just warning you. Lawrence is going to be very good. Very good.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Lawrence, too, I mean, when you're looking at taking him 101 in his Superflex leagues, we saw in recent years what rookie quarterbacks can do, and he is going into a really great situation. They have James Robinson at running back who had a phenomenal rookie year being undrafted.
I love, By the way, just time out. I just love that it is assumed. Like, without a question of a doubt, it's the pick is already in. The draft starts at the second pick. Like, it is already written in stone. Mm-hmm. It's done. It's Jacksonville. That's where he's going. It's Urban Meyer. We can already start looking at the offensive pieces around Trevor Lawrence. Like, it's mm-hmm. that
oh, sure, for sure
thing at this point in this draft class.
Yeah, I mean, you've got DJ Chark on the outside who can play that role as an alpha receiver. We've seen him show flashes with, you know, lackluster quarterback play. You know, he can take over a game if you need him to. And then you've got Laviska Shenault. You've got the Swiss Army knife. You've got, hopefully, you know, something at the tight end position in Josh Oliver. I still have him rostered in every freaking league I have.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
But the thing is, too, I have Oliver in a ton of leagues. But the thing is, too, they have a ton of salary cap. And they got a lot of draft picks, so they can bolster the offensive line. They can add a pass catcher in this great free agent wide receiver class. Lots and lots of options.
Colin Johnson.
Yeah, I love Colin Johnson. Yeah, I love Colin Johnson. So, yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of just not only Trevor Lawrence being Trevor Lawrence, but the situation that he's being put into is better than a lot of rookie quarterbacks we'll see. To be honest, you know, he's going to be put in a position for them to build around him and thrive because they've gotten rid of, you know, the Calais Campbells, the AJ Bouyers, the guys that have been on the team for years that were making big money, and they stripped it all down and they're like, you know what, we're redoing it, which is great to see. So I think Lawrence is just being set up for success right off the bat, which is one of the things like, hey, you got the 101. It's a slam dunk for me in your super flex leagues. Like, again, like Tyler said, like, don't overthink it. But if you love Fields, cool. Let's talk about him next. So, you know, obviously Justin Fields, national spotlight for that game that, you know, if you hadn't watched much college football this year, but you watched the playoff and you saw Fields be the ultimate competitor out there and, you know, being kind of like with on one leg, more or less, doing what he did, I think opened a lot of eyes for people this year for Justin Fields. You know, he's a transfer from Georgia. He, you know, they decided to go with Jake Fromm, whatever. And then Fields goes to Ohio State. He's put in a great situation and kills it the last couple of years. Now, today's NFL is very much more about the players like Justin Fields. When you talk about that Konami code, shout out to Rich Rebar, quarterback, Fields fits that mold because he can scramble, he can pass. You know, I don't think he's Lamar Jackson by any means or Kyler Murray, but, you know, he could be like a Dak Prescott type where he's not going to run for crazy amount of yards every game, but he might be able to give you a safe, like 40-yard floor every single week, which is an extra passing touchdown in leagues. And that is something that, you know, you try to find in these leagues. So if you have the 102, I think he's pretty much the consensus of that position. You're also in a great position at quarterback this year if you choose to do that. So John, tell me a little bit about what you've seen with Justin Fields. Give me some pros, give me some cons. Do you like him?
Yeah.
Are you like not as high as everyone else?
So here's the thing. I do currently have Justin Fields as my quarterback one. For fantasy purposes in this draft class.
Now our trade makes sense.
Now our trade now our make trades, sense.
That's now why, the trade makes sense.
That's why I went there. We're in a league together currently in the startup. We are drafting rookie picks. Tyler had the 1.02. I loaded up on a whole bunch of picks after that. So I sent him, I had the 3. So I sent him the 3 and the 1.12 to move up a spot to 2. Where I feel very confident that I'll probably be able to get Justin Fields, who is my quarterback one on this draft class. I still also have the 107, the 202, the 206. Like, I've got a slew of other rookie picks too. I'm loving this draft. But Justin Fields to me, I'll start with the con. His pocket presence is a big concern for me. It's a huge red flag. He sometimes will just completely not feel pressure. That's coming, and he'll get smoke on that. Especially if it's late pressure. If it's early pressure, he does a good job of, like, seeing that and adjusting his offensive line to it and getting people in position where it's supposed to be. But if it's, like, a delayed stunt or a late blitzer, you know, coming from the corner, from the linebacker position, he can kind of struggle with that. In my opinion, though, Justin Fields throws the nicest deep ball I think that I've ever seen, especially to those outer thirds where I think that Lawrence can struggle a little bit on pace. Like, his placement is great, Lawrence's, but Trevor Lawrence to me can drive that deep third with ease, and it is lethal. putting it in positions where the wide receiver is going to be able to adjust to it and make a great play on a back shoulder or a high point or wherever it needs to be. While I feel that Lawrence might be a little bit more polished now, I am in the camp that thinks that Justin Fields might have a higher ceiling, especially with the rushing ability that he can bring. When a play breaks down, he can go snap off that 20-30-yard run. He can go create on his own instead of on the designed quarterback keepers, which was like Clemson's MO for Trevor Lawrence. It was that RPO system to get him to run. Like Fields was running like a pro level offense. And we also saw him operate from under center, which is not something that we saw out of Trevor Lawrence at all. Fields would run a pro style under center offense. And I think that that transition for him will help him in adapting. And I also think because he's probably going to go as anywhere from the second to the fourth quarterback off the board, depending on how these teams are valuing the quarterbacks after him, he could potentially go to. I want that so bad.
Me too. Me too.
It would be amazing. Back in the Georgia Dome, like, come on. It would be so good. He could go to a situation like Atlanta with Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. They're probably going to bring the running back as well. Yeah, Russell Gage. He could go to Carolina and have DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey. And, like, he could go to a better offense right now to be able to contribute earlier, like we saw last year out of Justin Herbert being that second or third quarterback taken to a better landing spot. I think that we could see that with Justin Fields. So I feel better about Justin Fields potentially contributing early than I do to Trevor Lawrence. I also think the running ability makes him potentially a higher ceiling fantasy asset.
No, I agree. The ceiling is there, and honestly, in my notes, I put that he's got good accuracy down the field when he's able to step up into the pocket, but when he is pressured, he does like to force the ball. He has all the arm talent in the world, and I think he knows it. So when he is getting pressured, he's like, I can do this. I can make this throw. Sometimes it's not quite where he wants it, but usually when he steps up into the throw, I mean, he's accurate and deadly. I agree. I accurate outside the pocket. I mean, he's a very athletic person. He can move on the run. He can throw on the run and do that very well. The Rutgers game, he had some of the best throws I've ever had watching tape. That Rutgers game this year was phenomenal. I can't believe it. There was a lot of plays where I had to pick my jaw up. Like, I'm just sitting there watching this guy and just in awe. Like, he can do these things if he is under the right offense, under the right, you know, offensive coordinator. And I'm very excited if he lands in Atlanta. I agree. There's a couple spots where I don't want him to land in, but I'm very excited for Fields. And I know there's other quarterbacks jumping. Tim, I know we're going to talk about one of these quarterbacks that you like a lot. And I've watched more. Don't worry, buddy. I've come around a tad on this other quarterback we're going to talk about. But Fields is definitely locked into my 102. And Lawrence and Fields, the tier break between them is not far, but the tier break after them is very far in my eyes. These two guys are elite, and I hate comparing them. What we all wanted, Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, like, we all had these guys and had huge hopes for them. But I think Lawrence and Fields can actually answer these promises that we wanted. So this quarterback class is getting good, and we're going to talk more quarterbacks. And Tim, what do you think of Fields, and how do you have them slated?
Well, on my tape, my strictly tape watching evals, he's the fourth rated quarterback on my tape watching evals. If I am drafting for a fantasy team, though, and the first line of my notes on Mr. Fields here is he has the biggest upside of this entire class. If I'm at 102 in a super flex league and I am drafting for my team, I'm going to take Justin Fields. I think that the things I saw, okay, he has a very live arm. There are some accuracy issues at times when under pressure. John kind of alluded to that. Tyler kind of alluded to that as well. He has some of the prettiest throws, though. I compared his deep ball to a Russell Wilson. John talked about it. He gets it up in the air. It's got the air under it. It allows those receivers to make adjustments while the ball is coming down. And he is an athletic stud. If a play breaks down, he's got the weapons to make something out of nothing. If it's a designed run, he's going to chew up yardage very quickly. And he's a big man, powerful man. This kid is the highest upside player in this year's rookie draft because of that athleticism. He is not Lamar Jackson. He is not Michael Vick, but he's closer to them two than he is, Daniel Jones. He's a very athletic player, and he's got very good arm talent. With the arm talent he has, you put him on they talked about, he's going to be the second to fourth quarterback on in this draft. He could go to one of these, we'll just stick with Atlanta. He goes to an Atlanta team. They protect him well. He's got time to stand back there and make reads. Focus on his mechanics.
Let's pump the brakes on protecting him well. I mean, I know Atlanta's offensive line, and it may look pretty on paper, but
he doesn't have that pressure in his face, the guy makes some of the best throws you're going to see. So mechanically, he's sound until he's under pressure. So he's just got to go to a place, and I'm sure the QB coach is going to be working with him. Just, hey, when you do get under pressure, these are the things we need you to do. But, athletically, there's nobody else that has his upside in this class. And because of that, we know how this league goes these days. The athletic quarterback score points.
So
Arthur Smith is a perfect coach for him too. Like how he coached up Tannehill and got the most out of Tannehill. He can do the same. He could do the same for Fields. And Fields has a lot more juice, that he can squeeze. So
yes.
Oh yeah. So I have a question for you guys. So if you currently have the 101, let's say Fields goes, to Atlanta, right? Or maybe it's a landing spot that you like. John obviously likes Fields for his upside. Tim said the same thing. Would the move be, if you had the 101, and once you know all the landing spots and your rookie draft comes up and someone is like super sold on Trevor Lawrence, to move back one spot and to get Fields and then acquire an additional asset or two, would that be something that you would entertain at that point if you had the 101 and maybe you needed some extra pieces on your roster? Or would you just be dead set on like just taking Lawrence and like calling it a day?
I mean, I go back to the trade John and I made today, the 102 for 103 and 112. You are getting more for that 101. Like if you wanted to move up even one spot like John did, you're going to have to give up another mid first, if not more, to go get Trevor Lawrence because of the tier break that not only I think is there, the tier break that the whole community has for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a first round startup pick in super flex leagues, and God knows where he's going to go in one quarterback leagues. I mean, we like John and I are doing a startup now. The 101 went at 107. Wow. So that is where it's at. Trevor Lawrence is very hyped, and like I completely agree. I think you can get probably half of the world for that 101.
That 101 pick went ahead of Russell Wilson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a lot more other quarterbacks. Like, there's a lot of good quarterbacks that were still there that went after him. And it's crazy.
Yeah, I think that might be a move, worth entertaining, depending on if the price is right. I think a lot of times we get locked into like, I have 101, I'm taking this guy no matter what. And we don't look at like what some of the other possibilities might be. Maybe you don't shop the pick. A lot of people are just impatient, like, oh, I tanked and I want 101 and that's what I'm going with. But they don't even entertain offers for it. So, if you have the 101 in your league, just have some open-mindedness, or maybe, you can start the conversations with people. You don't need to trade it at all. But if someone's willing to give you the 102 and maybe like the 108 and like maybe something else, like you really have to think about that, especially in a superflex league, because that 108, maybe you get Justin Fields and maybe you get Kyle Pitts and then another asset, like completely possible. Or you get one of the receivers in this draft.
If you are sitting on the 101 though, don't trade it right now. I would wait until the week.
Stocks only go up.
Rookie draft. Yep.
Yeah, especially seeing that video of him 6 years ago. I mean, his stock plummeted. It was rough for Trevor Lawrence because
you could throw into a net. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's probably my 109 in Superflex leagues now.
He's definitely like he's into the second round and throwing it into a net draft. That's for sure.
Yes.
So let's move on the conversation. You know, I think the what's probably going to end up happening is the third quarterback off the board in your leagues is going to be a guy that Tim is super high on. Tyler, he's coming around. He's watched a little bit more video. But I want to talk about Zach Wilson out of BYU. When I see him play, you know, I haven't done any crazy video or anything like that. But when I see him play, he reminds me a little bit of Baker Mayfield or a Johnny Manziel.
Dude, that's literally my note, is Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, yep. just the mannerisms, the mechanics, yeah. His play style reminds me a ton of Baker. So, Tim, I know out of the four of us, you're the highest on Zach Wilson. So I'm going to give you the floor and give me your Zach Wilson analysis.
Well, Zach Wilson, again, going off the ESPN measurements, and I'm sure they're getting these from the teams, but they had him listed at 6'3", 209, 566 of his 837 passes for 67%, 7,652 yards, 56 touchdowns, 15 picks. When you watch this guy, you would not think that this guy's already had a shoulder surgery, and he has, and his shoulders come back even better than it was before. It is my belief that this
rookie
man,
of the year style.
Yeah, exactly. It is my belief that this guy has the best arm talent in this draft. I think that this guy can make any throw at the same level or better than anybody else in this quarterback class. He has a snap release that can go about 40 yards. He's, you know, that Michael Vick old just kind of just whipped the wrist and it's gone. Yep. On a line, 40 plus yards. He's a plus side athletically. He can throw on the run with velocity and accuracy as well. He reminds me a little, like, this is a big name to throw out there. He reminds me of Mahomes when he's on the move, because he'll be on the move without having to set his feet. He just kind of throws it sidearm, three-quarter release, still with accuracy, still with zip. He can throw into tight windows. He can throw deep. He can throw short. And what I love about when he is throwing to the shorter part of the field, he's hitting his guys right there, a yard off their chest. They're just going to catch that ball and keep on moving. You saw it so many times with these BYU receivers. I don't have the name, but number five, you constantly see him in film coming across the field. Wilson hits him. The guy's just taken off right up the field. It's fantastic. If you don't believe me, go watch Zach Wilson versus the UCF film, their bowl game this year. Great film to watch. That's all I got.
Tyler, so you went back and reviewed Zach Wilson film, and you said you're coming around a little bit. So give me your initial take on Zach Wilson. Now that you revisited him, what changed in between?
So I had to mute my mic so I didn't scream into the microphone, because I am very different from Tim. I do agree he reminds me a lot of Baker. The mannerisms, the chances he takes, the risky chances Wilson takes to me are a lot like Baker his second year. Baker has definitely improved thanks to good coaching. And if Wilson has good coaching, Wilson can be good. Now, Wilson, he does have a good arm, and he knows it. Like, Wilson knows he has a good arm. And I think that leads to the chances he takes. Kind of like Baker has confidence. Sometimes it gets a little overconfident. Now, he does have a thinner frame, and that worries me, because he is running in the Mountain West, and you are not going to be doing that in the NFL. I mean, he could die in the NFL. He is not a big dude. He's 6'4", yes, but I mean, we're all worried about Trevor Lawrence's weight. I think we should all be worried about Wilson. I think his receivers bail him out a lot. There's a lot of throws to the outside of the hash marks that the receivers are just waiting there, which an NFL corner will jump on, and he gets those throws caught because the receiver's pretty much boxing out this corner. There's a lot of throws that I think an NFL corner can break on and take to the house. When his feet are set, he's very accurate, and he does have a good arm. I mean, I will give him that. When his feet are set, he's got great pocket presence. He moves within the pocket very good. But man, when he is rushed, he does have a little panic in him. And I think he can fix that. I do have trust in the coaches that they can fix that and kind of the scene go Sam Darnold style of play. I think they can kind of get him through that. He's got that sneaky Fitzmagic athleticism. He's not super athletic, but he's very sneaky and he's very passionate. This guy is a very passionate football player. He loves the game. So you like to see that. I mean, he sits there in the film room a ton. I did come in with high expectations. I saw the highlight clips and I'm like, dude, I'm going to love this guy. Like, you guys know my style. I love the big arm talents. I love these guys that could throw it a country mile. I came in thinking, all right, buckle up, let's get ready. And I was very let down. So I think maybe I had my expectations were too high for this guy, but I think I've settled down on him to the point where I'm so low on him that I'm actually starting to rise again. He's definitely my fourth quarterback. And I think he's cemented there at four for me. And like I said, if he lands in the right spot, like, I do like New York's coaching staff. If he does go to New York and they trade Darnold, I would like that a lot. I think he could succeed there. They need another weapon for him, though. But I do think he can succeed with good coaching. He's a very, very high risk, high reward type player in this NFL draft. And he's got all the tools. He just needs to have somebody be able to utilize him in the right situation.
Gotcha. John, what's your take on Wilson?
Well, first and foremost, number five is Utah born and bred Dax Milne, wide receiver, 6'1", 190, by the way. He's a Utah boy through and through. I think that I'm splitting the difference between Tyler and Tim from what I've heard. I have Wilson as being pretty comfortably my quarterback three in this class. I think that Lawrence and Fields, to me, are very much so in the same tier, the same echelon, for kind of different reasons. Like, one for upside, one for, like, polish right now and athleticism, like, all that. But those two are their own tier, and then there's a break for me down to the quarterbacks after that. But Wilson's my quarterback three. I think that watching him, I saw a lot of Baker. Matt Okada and I were doing all kinds of crazy fun film session viewing together, like using StreamYard and stuff like that earlier this week. And we put on Zach Wilson. I was just like, he looks exactly like Baker Mayfield. Like, his body composition, his poise, his mobility, his mannerisms, like all that stuff looks like Baker to me. And that's not an insult. Baker came out as a very, very highly touted, accurate quarterback. And for me, I see a lot of that in Zach Wilson. I did also note, similarly to Tyler, that the throws to the outside can lack a little bit of pace and the wide receivers are waiting on. I did see that a little bit in him as well. But then at times also, I see those snap throws where it's a rocket launcher down the field. And I kind of don't understand why there's this variance in pace in some of his throws. Like, some of them look like they're on a freaking laser and it's just an absolute rocket. And then some of them look like they're floating to the outside. So I'm a little bit confused by what I see on tape from his, like, his arm talent. I do think that he's the kind of guy, though, that his teammates would absolutely love to play for and play with. And I think that he's going to bring that kind of passion and attitude and grit to the NFL that are going to make his teammates want to play hard for him. I think that he's that guy on third and one. If the play breaks down, he's going to put his body on the line and dive for it. And I think that his offensive line and his receivers are going to love that. So I am intrigued by him. I think that he's a good third option. I think that he has kind of quarterback 10 to 15 fantasy potential, I would say. Maybe a little bit higher than that, maybe up to like 7 in his career in terms of what we can expect from him to produce. But I think that he's good. I think that he has a lot of intangibles that people love, and that kind of goes a long ways in terms of, you know, if you have the right mentality and the right approach to things, and you're not a problem off the field, and your teammates love you and your coaches love you, they're willing to give you a little bit of a leash to grow and develop and stuff like that at the NFL level. Like, I don't agree with Tyler. If he goes to the Jets, I wouldn't hate that. I think that would be good. I love Robert Saleh. I'm an NFC West guy, being a Seahawks fan. So I think that would fit pretty well. So I'm intrigued by him. I think that he's pretty comfortably my quarterback three. Yeah.
The the legit when you're talking about running through a wall through him, his teammates and how he'd run for that. It's Baker. Like everything it you're is. Saying is true Baker.
That's what I was thinking too.
And Baker is fine for Superflex. Like he's a great quarterback too. If you have Baker as a quarterback
he's,
too,
he's going to have QB1 weeks for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think Wilson's the same. Can he grow into this player that Tim's talking about? I do think so. He's got the arm talent. He's got a huge arm. I would like to see a little more weight on him. Not the Baker weight. You know, year two Baker weight. He put on the wrong weight.
You're talking about a clean bulk, not a dirty bulk? Is that
like bulk season. What is on Always Sunny? He's producing mass.
Right, yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, I do like Wilson. I'm coming around on him. He's definitely my quarterback four, though. So.
Cool. Well, we've got two more quarterbacks to talk to kind of at length, and then we'll kind of do a round robin on the best of the rest, if you will. But most people's consensus number four quarterback is going to be Trey Lance out of North Dakota, who we've seen Carson Wentz, obviously, in that system. Easton Stick have a lot of success. Obviously, he's a backup in the NFL. But Trey Lance, you know, a lot of hype going into the season, and then he only plays one game. So I think that the Trey Lance train, if you will, is going to provide a little bit of value in Superflex leagues for a lot of people because, you know, his name was hot in the streets a year ago. You know, when North Dakota, I think they won their championship again and Lance had a great year. And then, you know, you've got other quarterbacks that kind of not came out of nowhere, but like Zach Wilson, obviously, no one was really talking about him before the year started. And then Trey Lance's name has kind of faded off a little bit. But again, if you're looking at a team like, you know, the Panthers picking eighth, and they take Trey Lance, like, boom, drop him in there with McCaffrey, and you've got DJ Moore, you've got Robbie Anderson, and they've got a little bit of money they can spend, too. They're like, that's a really good situation. We saw Teddy Bridgewater do fairly well for fantasy purposes in that situation. I think Lance obviously has a higher upside than Teddy does, no disrespect to Two Gloves. But Trey Lance is a guy that I think is super intriguing. You know, it's always hard with these quarterbacks that play Division II to kind of get a real feel for them based on competition. I know that's one of Tyler's things, like, oh, the division that they're playing in, you know, can mean a lot of different things. So, John, what's your view on Trey Lance? Do you see a lot of upside with him? Are you in on him? Or are you like, you know what? Like, I don't know. The competition wasn't great. Like, what do you see when you look at Trey Lance?
Yeah. I am, I think, kind of against consensus here. And I'm pretty out when it comes to Trey Lance from what I've seen.
Boo.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. My internet kind of froze there for a second.
Boo.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say is boo.
I heard Tyler's boos. Here's my thing on Trey Lance. He rushed for like over 1,000 yards. I don't have the numbers in front of me because my internet's being stupid and I can't have that tab open. He ran for a lot of yards. When you watch the film, it was game planned for him, quarterback designed runs right up the middle, where he was kind of slippery and he would pick up between like 7 to 10 yards on a run up the middle. It's not your rushing quarterback that's going to extend a play and be a dual threat on the run as a passer and a runner. When he gets out and he's scrambling and he's off base, to me, what I saw was a ton of accuracy issues when trying to throw on the run. When he has a clean base under him, I saw him deliver really good balls. I saw him be a good passer when he's able to set his feet, when he has the pocket, when he can step into his throws, and he could drive it. But for someone that's supposed to be this athletic, dual threat, Lamar Jackson-esque, but not that high of a ceiling, kind of like rushing quarterback, where it's that Konami code can go out and get you 700 rushing yards in the season as a quarterback. I don't really see that in the NFL because he wasn't scrambling and picking up yards. They were designed runs right up the middle almost every single time, where against really poor defenses, he was able to be a little bit slippery and wiggle and fall forward for 6, 7, 8, 9 yards. So I don't see him as being this dynamic dual threat quarterback at the next level. I see him as being a really raw prospect that has some upside and some athleticism, some ability, and some arm talent. But if he goes high in the NFL draft, I think that you're looking at a Jacob Eason type prospect where these teams look at him and say, this is someone that's going to need to sit for a year. This is someone that's going to need to learn. This is someone that we need to kind of like polish up. I don't see him as being a step in plug and play starting in his rookie season, dynamic dual threat quarterback. I just don't see that. I know there's a lot of people that do, and I respect those opinions, and I might be wrong on it, but from my analysis, I'm not seeing it. I just don't see the upside that other people are seeing.
Tim, talk to me about three Lance.
Well, Mr. Lance, 2019 had 1,100 rushing yards on the nose on 169 attempts. John is absolutely right. When you watch the film, they will spread the spread the offense out five wide, and they'll run this quarterback draw with Mr. Lance over and over and over again, because you're playing against Division II linebackers or whatever it is, the FCS linebackers, and he's just one of the most athletic people on the field at that level, and it's a slightly unfair matchup. And to the coaching staff's credit, they use their athlete to beat defenses. But in my film notes here, Lance makes very smart decisions with the ball. He is a new age Alex Smith with a little bit more of a deep ball to him. He's got the Alex Smith was athletic for his time. If a brand new Alex Smith was coming into the league right now, I think Alex Smith's athletic upside would be a selling point for these teams, as Trey Lance's athletic upside would be a selling point for teams. He makes high quality throws while in the pocket, on the move. There are accuracy issues. Shows solid pocket presence, though. Climbs the pocket.
I like this guy. He sees what I see.
Shows solid pocket presence and climbs into the pocket well to buy time to extend the plays. He did just over and over again. Again, we're talking about the creme de la creme, the Alabama of the FCS. You know, they are playing lesser opponents every week, almost all the time. He is throwing to wide open targets, guys just running the seams, running the numbers, and there's a 4 or 5 yard, you know, window there where you're not going to get those windows in the NFL. So, you know, he played against who he had to play against, and he won those games, but he's throwing to a ton of wide open receivers. It's tough to make judgment on a quarterback's ability to throw into tight windows when he doesn't have to throw into tight windows. But another good thing of playing at North Dakota State is he did play plenty from under the center. He did make reads well coming off of play action. So definitely the RPO. We know that's big in the game today. At the NFL level, a team could bring him in to be an RPO style quarterback if that's the system they choose to run. But he does
which would work with Joe Brady.
Yes. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
That would be a fit in Carolina for being two coaches, Joe Brady and Matt Rhule, that just came out of college and have a lot of experience with those styles of offense.
Yeah, you see him just go watch, you know, find yourself 3 or 4 films on Trey Lance. You're going to see him ton of the time under center, but also you're going to see it's a close to probably a 50-50 split between him being under center or them spreading it the hell out, and guess what? It's QB draw. So, I don't hate Trey Lance. I think he's got a very decent arm. I think he makes very good decisions with the ball. He didn't throw a pick until his one game this year. So he makes very, very good decisions.
At any level. That's the same.
You're making extremely smart decisions, and there's a little bit of luck involved there. You didn't have that tipped ball that goes in the air and falls in somebody's lap, but you know, you got to love the decision making. Hopefully his processor speed keeps up at the next level though.
Tyler, what do you like about Trey? What don't you like?
I love Trey Lance. I think he has arm talent for days. I mean, this guy has an arm. He has
two of them. Actually.
I think he does make some bad choices, and he kind of gets bailed out by the bad defenses. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that has to be a factor. I put it in with everybody else. So it has to be a factor of Trey Lance. He throws with ease. Like, his throwing motion just seems simple to me. It's insane. Like, it just seems like it's way too easy for him. What you see in Zach Wilson, Tim, is what I see with Trey Lance. It's just like, it's like me throwing a baseball is him throwing a full-size football, or like me throwing a tiny football is him throwing a real football. And he has a strong base. When he is able to stay in the pocket and throw, he's got a very strong base. And when he has that, it's almost Mahomes-esque to me. He has a big arm. And I know John's giving me a look. Yes. And he can deliver with accuracy. Not playing tougher competition. And in 2021, only playing one game, it's going to make it hard to evaluate him. But I love him. I love what I saw. I think he has the talent. And we talked about Fields going to Atlanta. Trey Lance is actually my choice for Atlanta because he can sit behind Matt Ryan and kind of learn. And then next year, come in and be the starting quarterback for Atlanta. And hopefully that year kind of helps him. And Matt Ryan's a perfect quarterback to kind of sit behind and learn the basic stuff you need to learn as a quarterback and not making those mistakes that I actually have seen when he was on the run. There's a lot of throws though on the run that I saw and I was like, wow, like that is elite level play. And there's a lot of throws where I saw and it's like, okay, you could have thrown it elsewhere or even away. He tries to make a lot of a little, but he did what we all want a player in Division II to be doing, and it's destroy bad defenses. I mean, if we're sitting here talking, he's got all the talent in the world, but he only threw, you know, 10 touchdowns and 5 picks. I mean, there's a difference, but he is playing at an elite level against poor defenses, and that's what we want to see. So, yes, John, you got a question.
I do have a question for you, Dr. Tyler. do you see him as an immediate starter or more of a raw talent that needs a development?
If he lands in the right system, if he does go to New York, the Jets, because I do like LaFleur as a head coach, put him in that Jimmy Garoppolo-style-esque offense, I think he's better than Jimmy G, personally. That's me. I think he makes correct choices, and he'd be a smart player, and I think they would put him in the right position to succeed. Another one is Carolina, like you guys like. I love Carolina. I think Joe Brady can put him in a perfect spot, and he can start right away for that team. I think with other teams, it's going to be a longer wait. Like Atlanta, I think he would have to wait because I think they'd have to kind of get him settled in. Arthur Smith, I think the two, I mean, I've heard this on a lot of draft shows. The comparison to Ryan Tannehill to Trey Lance is perfect. I mean, Tannehill was very raw coming out. And I mean, he played receiver for them. And then he switched to quarterback. Tannehill was drafted at 8. It took him a little bit. It took Tannehill a little bit to get his feet under him. But for Tannehill, it was more as a learn as you go, like on the job, hands on. Tannehill had to start right away, and he learned mistake after mistake. And then, of course, Adam Gase. And now look at Tannehill. So we're not talking about Tannehill. We're talking about Trey Lance. I think the comparison is pretty good there with Tannehill. Athletic. They both have good arms. They make good choices. They're smart, and if they're in the right offense, which I think Arthur Smith is the right offense, I think they can succeed big time. Like I said, like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, you don't need to worry about what offense they're in. They're going to succeed. Wilson, Trey Lance, they need a specific offense and an offensive coordinator to help them grow and succeed. And that just kind of goes to my point. There's a huge tier difference in the two elites and then these other two.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you talk about the fifth quarterback, we're talking about Mac Jones from Alabama. There's a tier break there, too, because what Mac Jones doesn't offer you is that ability to get you yardage on the ground. He's much more of a pocket passer, dad bod, very accurate, which is going to appeal to a lot of teams in the NFL, I believe. And I think that Mac Jones, you know, I think he will be a first rounder in the NFL draft? Probably. I think we're going to see 5 quarterbacks go in the first round. I think someone will fall for Jones and look at his resume. You know, it's interesting because Alabama typically doesn't have great pro prospect quarterbacks outside of Tua. You know, you look over the years with the guys that have been there. So seeing what Mac Jones did now, is he going to be a guy that was made because he had Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle and some of these other guys around him? That's going to be the question, right? Like, that's going to be the big question on him is, was it the talent around him? You know, he obviously had Najee Harris there too, or was it him? I think if you watch his film, the throws are there. He's making the throws. So yeah, he's a very polarizing prospect for me, especially, you know, in fantasy, because I think landing spot is going to be super important to where he gets drafted in your super flex leagues. If he goes to a team that has a decent amount of weapons, Could he go in your first round in Superflex? Yes. If he goes to a team that like is not great, he'll go in Washington. The second round. Yeah, I mean he'll probably go in the second round of the Patriots. You know, they don't have a lot of weapons around him, so
he just feels like a Patriots quarterback.
Well, I mean, we all know Belichick and Saban are like super close.
Right.
Wouldn't surprise me if at 15 they take Mac Jones, or maybe they trade back to get him. Still possible.
Tim, you're
Yeah, it's for me, Mac Jones is a guy that, like you said, needs to land in the right system. A lot of mocks have him going to Washington. I'm not sure on that. That one would be interesting to me. Patriots, God, don't let any significant quarterback go to the New England. I'm sorry, Doug, but I mean, if you have an IDP league, you pray that they go to New England because they have a very smart defensive philosophy there and they get the most out of their defensive players. Offensively, I mean, McDaniels needs to shake things up. What you're doing isn't working, buddy. So, yeah, listen.
The quarterback they had wasn't working.
Well, his arm wasn't working.
Look,
I mean,
look at what the Pats have done for the past 22 years when they had a competent quarterback there.
It was all Julian Edelman.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for that stupid catch against Atlanta. no, I think Mac Jones is actually a good quarterback. I honestly think Mac Jones is a good quarterback. He's very close to Zach Wilson for me. He's accurate. He makes good choices. To me, his arm strength is average to above average. I mean, he is not going to wow anybody with any throws, but he can deliver them with time, and that's what it is. He's got a quick release. If he is sitting there and the timing is correct with his throw and the receiver, it's going to be good. He's a big time timing quarterback. He needs to have that connection with receivers. And I think having those receivers at Alabama helps. So yes, he needs to have weapons at his disposal to succeed. He's a good quarterback. He reminds me a lot of Kirk Cousins. He's not going to wow you. Like, his ceiling, I think, is Kirk Cousins. He's not going to extremely wow you with anything. Yeah, he's going to have a couple like, wow, that was a pretty good throw for Mac Jones. Like Kirk Cousins, we say that like, holy crap, that was a pretty good throw for Kirk Cousins. Mac Jones is the same. He's going to be accurate. He's going to make some bad choices. He's going to have some throws that he tries to push that he knows he can't make, and he's going to do it anyways. And it's going to get picked off at the NFL level. But I think how he is upstairs in his mind and his NFL brain, I think he's actually going to limit those mistakes and just be a fine quarterback too for your super flex leagues. And I think he's going to be one of those guys that if you do get in the second, you're going to need to jump on because it's a quarterback and it's super flex league. I mean, we did a Twitter mock where we just randomly pick people. Peter Howard took him at 110 and just said, he's a quarterback. It's super flex. So why not? Like that was his answer pretty much.
Yeah, a lot of times it's as easy as that. So, John, any thoughts on Mac Jones?
Yeah, it's funny. I thought that I liked him okay enough. And then now that it's my turn to talk, I feel very differently. Which
it's
is
because you really just don't want to – you don't want to agree with me. Just admit that.
Well, no. I mean, it's partially that, Tyler, because let's be honest. No, I'm just kidding. The thing about Mac Jones for me – is that he needs basically a perfect ecosystem in order for him to be relevant for fantasy football.
That's why the Pats make sense.
It is exactly why the Pats would make sense. The Pats would make sense. I feel like they could utilize him well and surround him with some talent, theoretically, although they've been struggling with that for about 5 years. They could theoretically get some weapons around him and coach down the mistakes and allow him to do what he did at Alabama, which is be on time and quick and timing and get it out and get it to playmakers and let them get yards after the catch and
San Francisco.
Not force it downfield. San Francisco would also be a good fit. That would
he
be
is Jimmy G. Like he's the less handsome. He's the less handsome Jimmy G. He's
extremely much less handsome.
He's Jimmy G's southern cousin that really enjoys beer.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what Mac Jones is.
Yeah.
So it's tough. Mac Jones for me is going to be one of those where, like, I got to see what happens in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If he goes to a handful of places where in my mind's eye I go, yeah, no, I can see that. That would be a system that lets him get the ball out and get it on time to playmakers that can go after the catch. Then maybe he's a quarterback two for fantasy, but I don't think he ever has quarterback one top 12 upside in his arsenal at all. I just don't see it. So I don't know. Like, if you're listening, Ray, I love you. And I know that you love Mac, and that's great, man. I'm really happy for you that you do. And I hope that you're right. But I don't see it. And I don't see a reality where I'm going to end up drafting him. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather take someone that I see that has more upside, like a Trey Lance. But for me, it's kind of the top, like, four and not the top five. Like, I don't think that Mac is, like, in the same tier as those other guys because he doesn't do anything extremely well. You know what I mean? Like, Trey has the athleticism that, okay, well, maybe there's something there to it. And Zach Wilson, I think, has the ability to scramble and throw on the run. And, okay, maybe there's something to that. Like, there are tools to the other guys that I think could be developed and coached into being something where they might have top 12 upside. And Mac Jones, I just don't see that. And especially in a class this loaded at the skill positions, I'd rather take a wide receiver than Mac Jones. Like, I think that there's just more upside for my fantasy team with some of the wide receivers that are going to go around Mac Jones than taking him.
Guys, I'm going to be in John's camp a lot right here. He is going to need to go to a place that's going to develop his mind, because here's the only positive I personally have about Mac Jones. He is, in my opinion, the most mechanically sound quarterback in this class. He is the anti-Dwayne Haskins. When you see him go through his progressions and his reads, when his head moves, his shoulders move, his hips move, his feet move. He has a fantastic set of feet under him. He's got that base set for every time he throws. 74% completion percentage. It shows in the stat line there.
Base like a redwood tree.
The arm, though, Tyler said middling to just above average. I have it as a below average arm on Mac Jones. I don't see anything from his arm that makes me go, oof, that's something that very few people can do. He makes the throws that any college quarterback should be able to make with his arm talent. I think that he is a smart quarterback. And my last line of my notes here from the tape is, once he would master a system, I think he'd come in and be a starter for a team. Until he has the system mastered. So we're talking a full year or two on the sidelines. I don't see a way for him to come in and succeed on an every week basis in the NFL right now.
And to that point, here's one of the things is, we're not really seeing that happen in the NFL anymore.
No, we're not.
And that's what's interesting and different. The last one, ironically, to do it was Patrick Mahomes, who's arguably the greatest arm talent we've ever seen in the NFL. Yes. But other than that, if these quarterbacks aren't getting into the game in their first season, halfway through, 5 to 7 games left in the season, something along those lines, they're just kind of forgotten about. Jacob Eason, last year, drafted by the Colts with pretty good draft capital, might not even get a crack at it this year. They might go out and try to acquire a different quarterback instead. So I don't know that Mac Jones has a clear path to being even a starting quarterback in the NFL. It kind of feels like Jake Fromm.
Yes.
Like that's kind of what it feels like to me, where he's going to get drafted to be a perennial backup quarterback, and he's going to have a lot of fun carrying a clipboard for the next decade, and he's going to get paid pretty well to do it. And he might sneak onto the field at times, but I think that he's got an uphill battle to being a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I think the thing
with that is, if he is a first-round pick, which a lot of people have him as a first-round pick, he's going to start. Like I know we all saw Jordan Love. That's a whole different odd thing. I think, did they do it just to ramp?
Well, he was Rogers behind up? The NFL MVP. So,
yeah.
I think the NFL draft stock that Mac Jones receives is going to tell us a lot.
Yeah.
you know, if a team invests heavily into him, they're going to feel some sort of way and obligated almost, unless he completely just bombs camp, to get him in at some point to see what they have in him.
The fan base,
they're going to start screaming for him. But I could, just from what I've watched of Mac Jones, I could see that he goes, you know, third round. And at that point, you're not talking about a guy that's, you know, the team doesn't have to get that guy on the field. You know, they probably have a better option at quarterback.
So I do agree that, like, if we're talking talent, it definitely goes Wilson, Trey Lance. And we all thought Justin Herbert wasn't ready. There's a lot of people that thought he mentally wasn't ready. I was not one of them. I thought this kid was ultra talent. And
I love you so much for that. I'm an Oregon boy, born and bred.
Yeah, how do you
I've been watching him since he played high school in Eugene, Oregon, in basically the shadow of University of Oregon City. Like, I've been on Justin Herbert for 6 years.
Like, the thing is, how do you get the Heisman of like being wicked smart? and people saying he can't learn systems and he's not smart. And like, this guy's a freaking genius. He should be able to
3 GPA or something. Yeah. Like that in college.
And then all of a sudden, oh, well, his attitude and he's quiet to me. Oh, don't give me that. Eli Manning was like that, and he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Ugh. Oh, he Doug, your shouldn't. Two Super Bowls are
he
crying.
He shouldn't.
Okay, so hold on. Let me go to the NFL draft order. And I'm going to go kind of like mid to late first. Okay, well, like, there's New England at 15, which I feel like would be too rich to take Mac Jones.
Yeah.
They won't.
After that,
they could trade down, though.
They could. You'd have Arizona. They're set. Nope. Las Vegas, I think they're happy with Derek Carr, unless they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson. Miami wouldn't take him. Washington, maybe.
Possibly.
Might.
That's at 19.
That'd be terrible.
That would be awful. Chicago? Yeah.
Nope. I mean, they might take him, but I'm not touching him. I mean, nothing about that landing spot does anything for me.
I don't think that Indy uses the 21st pick on Mac Jones. Tennessee, no. Jets at 23, they're going to address it probably early, so no. Yeah,
they'll have now, I want to go back to the Colts. Now, I know you don't want him to go there, but in a West Coast offense where it's timing and you're going to base your system off the run, he could work there. He could work. It's indoors, and with his average arm, he could work well indoors in that stadium. I'm not saying it would be great. I'm saying he could work.
this guy could help things.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to further along this talk. He is actually closer to my other player, Kyle Trask. I'm going to move on to a different player here.
Sure.
Just to move things along. Kyle Trask, I actually really like. I think he's very close to Mac Jones to me. He's got very good footwork. He resets on the move. His accuracy is easily his best trait, and it's elite almost. He is very accurate. His arm strength is definitely a question with anything beyond 30 yards. And he's a rhythm thrower. He'd be great as a Drew Brees replacement or in New England. He's got good ball placement with the throws. And my last thing on the notes is Kyle Pitts is very, very good.
Yeah. Yes.
He's not bad.
I have similar notes on Trask. The ball placement's great, especially on the shorter throws. He can throw the fastball with some of the best of them. He can fit it into the tight window. Would not call Kyle a runner by any means. He has a decent deep ball. When he does seem to miss, he has that Cam Newton accuracy, though, where he's missing them high. Occasionally, though, on the film, I watch him keep both feet planted, and he's just rotating from the waist up, and he's just making arm throws. I don't like that. So mechanically, he's got some things he needs to work on.
John, any thoughts on Trask before we go to a round robin?
That pretty much sums it up. I think that he and Mac Jones are closer than a lot of people think that they are. Mac is being considered to be like in this whole other tier than Kyle Trask. And when I watch them on film, I'm like, why?
It's the same picture. An office gif. That's the same picture.
Yeah. Tell me the difference between these two pictures. There's no difference.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I think that Trask is.
Yeah, one's a left sock, the other's a right sock.
Yep.
It's the same thing. You switch them around. It's
all
the
same. All right. To wrap it up, let's go over, we'll do a little bit of round robin action. And I want each one of you guys to give me someone that you've got your eyes on that you see some upside in and that you think could be a screaming value in your Superflex leagues that maybe no one's talking about. Tyler is chomping at the bit because he's got ADHD.
Because so I Tyler, know Tim is deep dive. No, Tim is deep dive. Kellen Mond is, for me, I saw what he did in the Senior Bowl. He's got that Dak Prescott-esque type feeling to him. Like he was a very good recruit, and he kind of just sat there until good coaching came into Mississippi State, and now he's showing his talents. And I think he could be a guy that becomes something. I think he'll be what, a third round pick, Tim?
Yeah,
around there, yeah. Third. And especially with the Senior Bowl performance, I think it's going to help his draft stock. He could be an early third, which could be more interesting. I mean, he goes to a team like Washington and they bring in a veteran like Teddy and kind of let him sit a little bit. That could be an option, but he is very intriguing to me late in rookie drafts and Superflex, like fourth round pick. I would definitely take a shot on Kellen Mond.
Kellen Mond, long strider, can get up the yardage quickly when on the run. I have questions about the zip on the ball, having a lot of passes defended. He makes accurate throws while he's on the run. He has the tools that today's offensive coordinators will absolutely love. He shows composure under pressure and has a little bit of that Philip Rivers resting bitch face. If you watch film with him, he has that, like, he's gritting at the defense, like, "Oh, you son of a bitch." Like, he's got that competitive. He's just got fire in his belly sometimes, it looks like. So, I mean, teams could just eat that up. If he gets in the interview rooms, I guess there's not going to be the normal combine, but sure. You know, he gets on Zooms.
He gets on them Zooms.
Yeah, and the teams are like, "Man, you know, tell us about, you know, your love of the game and your competitiveness," and teams might eat that up about him.
So, honestly, going off subject, Tim is one of the best film watchers I've ever met, and that's why he is on this show, not only because of his good looks, it's because he's fantastic at this. Tim, if I could get a hand on these notes and just read them, I could laugh and just enjoy myself for days, because you always have these random little things,
like anecdotes.
Yeah, like the Philip Rivers resting bitch face. Like,
and I just saw it multiple times where they go to the replay where it's a different camera angle where it's a little more close up or something, and you see him like, and like, what are you pissed off about? You just got a first down. Like,
chill out. I'm actually I'm disappointed that you missed the opportunity for a dadgum.
Dadgummit.
You dadgummit. It's a dadgummit, not a resting bitch face. Uncle Phil would never.
He wouldn't. Yes, you're right.
Tim, who's the guy that you got your eye on?
One of the guys that impressed me on film that I don't hear a ton of people talking about is Davis Mills out of Stanford, 6'4", 212, 65% completion percentage in his career there at Stanford. So you gotta know anything about a kid that goes to Stanford. He's probably a pretty smart guy. He makes some incredibly accurate intermediate throws. He has a very good fastball to fit the ball into the tight windows. You see him making the reads, going through his progressions. He's a rhythm thrower on his 5 and 7 step drops. His back foot hits the ground. He plants and the ball's out. Not a ton of deep balls on tape. I think that could possibly be mostly system related, though. I do have questions about the deep ball accuracy, though, on the few that I did watch on tape. Gotcha. But overall, good throwing quarterback. He's not an athletic stud. He's not going to chew up the yardage on the ground. He's kind of a throwback type quarterback. Again, going back to the Philip Rivers type player, you know, if you give him a clean pocket and you give him that time, he's going to be able to deliver the ball and make clean and accurate throws.
Yeah, NFL Draft Bible actually had an article about him, and I was like, God, I knew I heard of him recently, and yeah, they just did an article on him too. So he could be a sneaky name come draft day. Yeah.
John, you got any names in your Rolodex that you want to talk about before you get us out of here?
You know, I really don't. I'm not crazy deep into the quarterback class, so, you know, I feel comfortable about being, you know, 6 to 8 quarterbacks into the class, but. Mm-hmm. I'm not the guy that's going to pull out your 6th-round quarterback right now at this point in the analysis.
No Gardner Minshews?
No. So instead of just throwing out a uneducated name, I'm just going to pass on doing that. But for me, I feel really good about there being 2 top-tier talent quarterbacks in this class. Mm-hmm. I feel good about there being 2 guys that I'm very intrigued by. And then two guys after that that I think are going to be pretty system dependent in that top six of the quarterback class. And that's about where I'm at in my analysis at this point in the offseason. And we'll continue to dig deeper and watch film over the next month or so as we get closer to draft season. But it's going to be really interesting seeing how these teams evaluate these players without a combine, without getting to Indianapolis. You know, how valuable the pro day is going to be. Who's going to
what
be the
trades
most-
are what trades are going to happen? Like we, there's going to be so much more quarterback movement that it's going to shake everything up.
Right. I mean, the landing spots are going to completely change over the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy offseason at the quarterback position for sure.
It's a crazy month ahead, by all means. You know, I think we've only seen the beginning of it, and I'm pretty intrigued by just seeing how this landscape changes as we get closer to March and April.
Awesome. Well, that's going to wrap us up this episode. John, thank you for joining us. As always, Tyler and Tim, before we leave, John, tell us where we can find you, what you're working on, what you got going on. Yeah, all the good stuff. Hit us with it.
Yeah, definitely. On Twitter, at John Helmkamp. I know it's a crazy name. Sorry about that. Good luck. Ask Tyler. He knows where to find me. My writing is pretty much all over on deadspin.com these days, where I'm doing all my writing, work there full time. I'm also the co-host of the Redshirts Dynasty podcast. We'll be doing a lot of film breakdown and mock drafts and player analysis and all that stuff leading up to draft season and having a lot of fun over there. So that's pretty much where I'm at this point.
Awesome. Thank you. So before we go, Tim wanted to sneak one more name in there. Right, so we got a bonus name.
Yeah, since John didn't have one, I figured I'd dump another one out here. He transferred to Washington this year, didn't get to play much. Kevin Thompson, he played at Sacramento, so he played at that FCS level.
The Kings.
Yeah, the Sacramento Kings. He played NHL hockey and then went to play Washington Huskies football.
Isn't that basketball?
Sacramento Kings basketball,
I'm
Tim.
Sorry. Oh, yeah.
The LA Kings.
My fault. California Kings, whatever. It's not football. I don't care. It's not, at the FCS level, you see Kevin throw with anticipation. He's accurate to all levels of the field. And if the pass rush leaves a lane open, watch out, because this kid's going to burn you for some yardage on the ground. He will definitely hurt you with his legs. He was recruited by UNLV and another Division I college. I forget what it was. He chose to play there in Sacramento. But yeah, this kid's he's very athletic. I see very good throws. Now you got to remember, when you're watching the tape, you're watching that lower level of competition. So again, he's dealing with less athletic defenders than he is. But man, I like the athletic upside of this kid. He could be that we brought him up, Gardner Minshew type, where you're not hearing a bunch of his name. You take him in the fourth round of rookie draft. Somebody gets injured week six, and this kid makes his way to the field, and all of a sudden he's, you know, he's running for 60, 70 yards a week and throwing for two touchdowns. He gets you, you know, a couple wins.
Taylor Heineke-esque.
Yeah. Oh, and before we go, I just wanted to say rest in peace to Mr. Chris Wessling over at the NFL. Absolutely. Yes. One of the guys that I dreamt to meet one day. The guy, from everything I've ever heard about him, it was just a pure soul, a fantastic man. He just recently had a baby, passed away from cancer. I'm going to personally miss this guy deeply, and I never had the chance to meet him. But yeah, it when I heard that news, it broke my heart.
Yeah, it was a really tough one. He was one of those guys that, you know, he was one of the OGs in the fantasy space. He's been around for a long time. He was one of those guys that I read and listened to, you know, as a young adult wanting to get into this space. He was one of those huge inspirations. So massive loss to the industry. By all accounts from everyone that knew him, a greater loss as a man. Praying for his wife, Lakeisha, and their new baby as well.
Link. He went from the football guy's form, just, you know, blasting out these massive posts, caught the eye of some people over at Roto World, got a job at Roto World. And when his boss from Roto World went to the NFL, you know, he brought him along with him for the ride. And, you know, I was glad I got to just know him through audio and print.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he seemed like a phenomenal individual by all accounts. So, like I said, thoughts and prayers to his family going through that. So, yeah. So that's going to do it for Dynasty Happy Hour. Thank you to John for coming on with us. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tyler. We will see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.